Today's shiur is Masechta Shkolim, Daf Tezayin, and we will begin on Daf Tezayin on Aleph at the third line. We had learned in the Mishnah that the Oren was hidden. Teaches us the Gemara. Mishenignas Oren, once the Ark was hidden, Nignas Imai, Tzintzenas Haman. Moshe Rabbeinu had told Aaron that he should fill a jar with the mon and put it by the Oren, and that this should be a lesson for generations, that they say, how can we learn Torah? Don't we have to go out to make a living? The mon would be shown to them, and it would be a lesson that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one gives us panasa. Says the Gemara, Mishenignas Aron, the Tzintzenes Haman was also put away. And Bavli learns it with Gzeru Shava. It says regarding the Aron, Asher Evoid L'cha Shama, and it says regarding the Tzintzenes Haman, the Sen Shama Maloi HaOymer. So we learn Gzeru Shava, Shama Shama, just like the Aron was put away, so too the Tzintzenes Haman. Vitzlucha Shemna Mishcha, also there was a Shemna Mishcha which was used to anoint kings and Kohanim, as we will learn later, that also was put away, and again the Gemara learns it with a Gzeres Shava, but it's in Tzenes Haman, it says L'meshmeres L'dorei Seichem, and regarding the Shemna Mishcha it says Shemna Mishcha's Kodesh Yezeh Li L'dorei Seichem. So we learn a Gzeres Shava between the mon and the Shemna HaMishcha. Umakla shel Aaron uprocha v'shkodav, when Kairach had challenged the kahuna gedola of Aaron, so afterwards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to prove Aaron's position, said that all the shvatim, every rosh shevet, should take a stick, and that the stick of Aaron blossomed and had almonds. The Tosfos Yeshayahu Masechta Yuma says, usually don't blossoms turn into fruit and the blossoms fall away. He points out that here, not all of the blossoms turned into fruit. Some of them remained blossoms. Prochov Ushkodov. V'oren Shehashivu Plishtim Oshem Lelekei Yisrael. And the box that the Plishtim sent as a offering to Klai Yisrael, as we had learned in the previous year, the Plishtim had taken the Oren of Hashem in captivity and had caused havoc wherever it went. The Plishtim were afflicted with hemorrhoids, and they sent it back in a box with a gift. That box is the box that was left there also. Ask the Gemara, Mi Gonzoi, who was the one that hid away the Oren? Says the Gemara, Yeshio Gonzoi. Yeshio was the last king from Malchus Beis David during the Beis Hamikdash Rishon, and although his father Amon and his grandfather Menashe were Rishoim, he was a tzaddik. And it says that in the 18th year of his reign, he renovated the Beis Hamikdash. During that time, as hard as it is to believe, there were no Sifrei Torah found throughout Klal Yisrael. But at that time, when they were renovating the Beis HaMikdash, they found a Sefer Torah that had been concealed, and he opened it up, and Kimin Shiroh Shekosu, when he opened up the Sefer Torah, it was at the Pasuk in Tetachacha that says, Yoylech Hashem Oyschach Vesmalkecha Ashetukim Lecha Al Goya Shlo Yudata Atu Vesecha. Hashem will take you and your king to a land that none of you know. So Chulda, the Nevi'ah, told Yeshio, this is a Nevu'ah about the tragic fate that awaits Klal Yisrael. So Amad V'Gonzoi. So when he saw that this was going to happen, he hid the Oren. Hahudu Iksiv, as the Pasuk says, V'yoyim L'Levim HaMevinim V'L'chol Yisrael Doshim Hashem. Yeshio said to the Levim and to everybody else, Tenuas Aron HaKadosh Rabbayis HaShabana Shlomo Ben David Melech Yisrael, put the Aron in the room that Shlomo HaMelech had prepared. As the Mefarshim explained, when Shlomo HaMelech had built the Beis HaMikdash. He prepared a secret room where he knew if Chas V'Shalom the Beis HaMikdash were to be destroyed, the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash could be hidden. Ein lecha mas b'kosev, because you have no longer the need to carry the Aron. And in fact, there's a machloikis based on this Gemara between the Ramban and the Ramban, who actually carried the Aron. The Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvos says that the Kohanim would carry the Aron. And the Ramban says, based on our Gemara, it says that he spoke to the Levim. So it was the Levim that carried the Aron. The Rambam says, the Mefarshim explained that the Rambam, that many times we find in Nach that Kohanim are called Levim. Omlehem. So Yoshio told him, Im goylech machem lebavel, if the Aron will go with you to Golus and Bavel, ein atem machsir maisa oidl makamai, it will never be returned. Ella, atu ivdos Hashem lakechem, v'shvam Yisrael, you should serve Hashem and His people and leave the Aron what it is. And the Farshim explain, why would the Aron not be returned? Because either there was no way, the Mefarshim explained, that the foreign nations, if they received the Aron or had the Aron, would ever let Klal Yisrael get it, or there was concern that it would not be treated properly in the Golus, and since it would not be treated properly in the Golus, it would fall into decay and deteriorate. So, since we spoke about Shemen HaMishcha, the oil that was used to anoint the Kohanim and the Melachim, the Gemara begins a sugya discussing Shemen HaMishcha. Says the Gemara, Pitam Shemen HaMishcha. The Pasuk says in Parashas Kisisa, Vat the Kachlcha, Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed to take various different fragrances, Kiddush HaMishmeis, Shein Elef Chomesh Meis Monim. It was a total of 1,500 portions of fragrances that were used to prepare the Shemen HaMishcha. But the Pasuk continues, Shemen Zayis Hin. A hin of olive oil was used. How much is a hin? Shneim Asar Loig, 12 loig, which is a few gallons. Says the Gemara, Shiboy Sholkenes Ikrin, the roots of the spices were cooked in the olive oil. Divrei Rameyah. Yehudaimer Sholken Hayu B'Mayim, they used to boil the roots in water so that the roots should absorb that water, become saturated with water, and then for nice and Shemen Al Gabayim would put the oil on top of those roots. Mishayu Koilis Areyach, and when the oil absorbed the fragrance of those roots, Haimavirai, they would take the oil, Kederach Shaptam Maisim, that's the way people who make perfume act. Hadodik Siv, Shemen Mishchas Kodesh. It's the work of a perfumer, that's the way the Shemen HaMishcha was prepared. Tani Rabbi Yehuda Ber Beloi, Shemen HaMishcha Sh'asa Maisha Bamidbar, the Shemen that Moshe prepared in the Mishnah, Mas and Nisim Nasma Metchil Vatzayif. It was a series of miracles. Shemetchil Lahay Be'el Shnei Masalayik. As we said, we only started off with 12 loig of oil. Shenemar Shemen Zayis Hin. Says the Gemara, Im Losuch Ba'as Ikrin, if we just wanted to smear all of these roots with oil, Loi Hayasapik, it wouldn't be enough oil. Alachas Kam V'Kamah, certainly, Sha'or Beleya, when they were cooked on the fire absorbed some of the oil. The Eitzim Boilim, the wood, the roots themselves absorb some of the oil. The Yor Belas, the pot in which they cooked it, absorbs. And still, in Rimenu Nimshechu, HaMishkan V'Kal Kelev, the Mishkan and all of its Kelim, HaShulchan V'Kal Kelev, the Shulchan and all of its various vessels, HaMenorah V'Kal Keles, so too with the Menorah, or Menu Nimshechu, Aaron HaKoyin Gadol, Urban of Kol Shivah Shmei Meluim, Aaron the Kohen Gadol and his children, all Zion Yimei Meluim, were also anointed. Many Mefarshim say that every day of the Zion Yimei Meluim they were anointed again. Or Menu Nimshku Kohanim Gedolim Melachim, and from it were anointed all the kings and Kohanim Gedolim for all generations. And the Mefarshim point out that according to this pshat, that the Shemen HaMishcha, the preparation was completely done with so many nisim. So then there's a question. The Torah says, "Ubmaskuntai loisasu kamayu." The Torah tells us that we're not allowed to use, we're not allowed to imitate, we're not allowed to duplicate making the Shem and Mishra. But the question is, if it was full made with nisim, so then it couldn't be duplicated anyway. So why is there an Isser, or how could someone be over the Isser if he duplicates it? So the Brisker Rav says that this man, the Omer, that says that it was done with nisim, doesn't necessarily disagree with what Rabbi Yehuda said. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it wasn't made with nisim because they saturated the roots with water that they shouldn't absorb the oil. So even though this man, the Omer, says that it was done with a nis, he agrees with what Rabbi Yehuda says, that Rabbi Yehuda says that it could be done in the normal fashion, where we wouldn't have to rely on a nis. So since it could be done in such a fashion, therefore if somebody does it that way, even he will agree he's over the lav. Another pshat is the isser of duplicating the Shemen HaMishcha is not having Shemen HaMishcha. The isser is duplicating it to the degree that you will have it, duplicating it, that you do the exact same thing as was done in the Mishkan or in the Beis HaMikdash, even though it won't necessarily end up with the same results, because there was a nes and here there wasn't. Actually making the same thing is usher. Says the Gemara, Melech Betchila, somebody who's a king for the first time in the family, Tom Mashiach, he requires anointing. However, Melech Ben Melech, the king, a king who's the son of another king, ain't Tom Mashiach, doesn't require anointing. My Tama, what's the reason? Kum Mashcheyu, the Pasuk says regarding David, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Shmuel, you go anointed Kizehu. Zeh Tom Mashiach. David, who was the first in his family that was going to be king, he requires anointing. However, ve'ein benoy Tom Mashiach, his children do not require anointing. However, I have a kohen gadol ben kohen gadol. If you have a kohen gadol, even though he's the son of a previous kohen gadol, I feel at tzara d'aretz, even if you have such a succession for 10 generations, Tom Mashiach would be required. Says the Gemara furthermore, v'kula kayim lasalavai. All the Shemen HaMishcha that Moshe Rabbeinu prepared will all remain loyal to Lavai. Ha'udik Siv, Shemen Mishcha is Kodesh Yeh Zeh Lila Dereseichem. The Shemen Mishcha will be Zeh the Dereseichem. And like the Mepharshim explained, Zeh is Gematria 12, 7 plus 5. And as we learned before, we began with 12 loig, tells us of oil, tells us the Pasuk, those 12 loig that we began with will remain forever. And the Mepharshim explain why from all of the various items that were made in the Beis HaMikdash is it the Shemen HaMishcha that remains forever. So they explain, the characteristic of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Nitzchis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is forever. When we take the Shemen HaMishcha and we use it for a melech, or we use it for Kohen Gadol, what we're saying is that their position also is la'olam, remains forever, is nitzchius. And that's why we specifically had the Shemen HaMishcha being the one thing that remained forever. Continues the Gemara, Ein Moshcha Melochem El Gabba Ma'ayim. We would anoint kings only by a spring. Shenemar, as David HaMelech told the people when they were to make Shlomo HaMelech his successor, Berkat Meshlomo B'ni Perdash Ali, Shlomo HaMelech should be taken on my mule, V'rad to Moshe al-Gichayin, should be taken to the Gichayin, U'moshech Oysa Shom, Tzadik HaKoyin V'nosan HaNavi, Tzadik HaKoyin V'nosan HaNavi should anoint him there, LaMelech HaYisrael as a king. And the reason it's done by a spring, a spring flows, it endures forever. So too they were trying to symbolize that the melucha should be forever, not like a river which could dry up. And that is one of the reasons the Mepharshim say we say tashlich on Rosh Hashanah or during the Seder Shimei Tshuva. Again, we go to a spring that flows to say that our mazel, our hatzlacha this year should flow like a spring. That's also the reason why we make a chuppah under the stars. Again, same type of symbolism to show that this marriage should be forever. Says the Gemara, we don't anoint a king who's the son of a king, unless there's a machlaikus. In order to show that he is king, then we anoint it. It says the Gemara, why was Shlomo Melech anointed, although his father David was a king? Because Adonio was challenging his position, so we anointed him. Yoyish, why was Yoyish anointed? Asal Yohu was the only survivor of Ataliah's attempt to kill all male offspring of Malchus Beis David. He was saved by his aunt, who hid him while Ataliah ruled the land. And after 6 years, he was made king. And because he was made king while Ataliah still occupied the throne, that's why he was anointed. Yoyachis, why was Yoyachis anointed? Nei Yoyachim Achiv, because Yoyachim was his brother. Sheigolim Menesh Teishanim, he was 2 years older than him. Yehu was anointed from Nei Yoram. Yoram was the successor of Achav, and Yehu was a fine person, and that's why he was anointed. Ask the Gemara, Loi Keng Siv doesn't say in the Pasuk, Kum Mashcheyu Kizehu, that David HaMelech, Tom Mashicha, Zeh Tom Mashicha, somebody who's from the Malchus Beis David, Vei Malchi Yisrael Tonu Mashicha, but not somebody else. Now Yehu was a Melech Yisrael, so the question is, why was he anointed? Furthermore, says the Gemara, we said Yoyachas, why was Yoyachas anointed? Nei Yoyachim Achiv Shaygolim Menesh Teishanim, because Yoyachim was his brother 2 years older than him, and to say that he should be king. But ask the Gemara, V'lo Yeshio Gonzoi, wasn't already in their time the Shemen HaMishkan no longer available because their father Yoyashio had already hidden away? And says the Gemara, Hadar Amra Bafarasim Nimshach, both Yehu and Yoyachid were anointed, but they were not anointed with the Shemen HaMishkan. A Melech Yisrael is not anointed with Shemen HaMishkan, nor is a Melech, nor certainly Yoyachas, because there was no more Shemen HaMishkan. They were anointed with a fragrant oil that looks like the Shemen HaMishkan, and the people should come to the recognition that these people deserve to be made king. Davni Nezer discusses if the halacha is that a Melech ben Melech doesn't require anointing. Why is the halacha, he asks, that if there's a machloikis, then he does get anointed? If he's not supposed to be anointed, why does the machloikis allow us to anoint him? So he says a number of pshatim. One pshat is the entire point of the Shemen HaMishkan is covered on Malchus, is to show the strength and the Malchus. If the Malchus is being challenged, that's when the Shemen HaMishkan is needed, even if he's a Melech ben Melech. Another pshat is that the Pasuk says, Leman Yaruch, regarding Shemen HaMishkan, Leman Yaruch Alkisa Memlachtoi, Hu Uvonov Bekerv Kol Yisrael. The Gemara says, Bekerv Kol Yisrael, Bezman Shiye Sholem Be Yisrael. What the Pasuk is teaching us, says the Avni Nezer, is only when there's Sholem is there no requirement for a new anointment. If there is no Shalom, then the Torah requires a new anointment. But then he says another pshat. He says that if there's a machlokes, we'll explain it this way. If a king leaves two children, and actually the Sfas Emes points out that the only challenge that's considered a challenge for which new anointment is required, says the Sfas Emes, is a situation where it's a brother that's challenging another brother. But if it's someone else, then there is no requirement for Mashiach. And that's why we find that in the split between Yerovam and Rechavam, when Klal Yisrael's monarchies were split, Yerovam was Melch Yisrael, Rechavam ben Shlem was Melch David. Rechavam, even though he's being challenged by Yerovam, wasn't anointed, because he wasn't challenged by a family member. And in fact, the Mefarshim point out the reason Yoyosh was anointed, even though he was challenged by Ataliyahu, who was an aunt, not a close family member, but because he was a child, so there was no Isser in using Shemen HaMishcha for a child. However, normally, the only challenge, the Mefarshim point out, that's considered a challenge for which a Melech ben Melech requires Mashicha, is when the challenge is from a brother. So he explains the Avdi Nezer. When there are two brothers fighting over the Melucha, and one brother ultimately prevails, the Tzibur chooses one, the brother that prevails does not get his position because of Yerusha. If it would have been because of Yerusha, the succession would have gone smoothly. It's a new minui. It's a new appointment of that position. So since it's a new appointment, as we learned earlier, anytime a new king is appointed, a new Mashiach is required. Another Pshat the Mefarshim say is that if there's a break, since there's a break, there was a time span between the previous monarchy and the new monarchy, that time break serves to separate the two, and that's usually the case in place when there is a quarrel over the new Melucha. So now when the new Melech is finally appointed, that's considered a new Melucha, and therefore a new Mashicha is required. Says the Gemara, Ein Mashchen HaMelachim Ela Min HaKeren. A horn is used to anoint the king. Shol v'Yehu Nimshchu Mapach. Shol and Yehu were anointed from a flask, an earthenware flask. Hoysimachus HaMalchus Averis. Their kingdom did not last long. Like an earthenware utensil which breaks easily. David v'Shlomo Nimshchu Min HaKeren. Hoysimachus HaMalchus Kayemis. Their reign is forever. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. There's an interesting machloikis between the Arba Benel and the Rambam Pano, that although we're learning now that Shlomo HaMelech was anointed, that Shaul was anointed, and he was anointed even though he wasn't from Beis David, but since he was the first king in Klal Yisrael, the Mefarshim say, or because there was no Malchus David yet in place, so that's why he was anointed. But the Machlokes Rambam Pano and Arba Benel is, with what was he anointed? Was he anointed with Shemen HaMishcha, or was he anointed with Shemen HaFarsman? The Arba Benel says that Shaul HaMelech was anointed with Shemen HaMishcha. The Rambam Pano says he was anointed with Shemen HaFarsman. We said, continue to Gemara, Ein Moshkin Kohanim Melochim. We don't make Kohanim into Melochim. Omer Rabbi Yehuda HaTantoyu, Lo Yosu Shevet Hashem, why? Because the Pasuk says, Lo Yosu Shevet Meyehuda. The scepter, which represents Melucha, doesn't go away from Shevet Yehuda. Omer Rabbi Chibar Ada, Leman Yarech Yom Mamalachtoi, Hu Uvana Bekarev Yisrael. He and his children should be kings over Klal Yisrael. And Maksiv Basrei, what did it say afterwards? La Yayu Le Kahanim Alevim. Not Kahanim Alevim should be Malachim. So as the Ramban explains, what is the Pasuk teaching us? So Ramban says that the Gemara is teaching us that certainly the Melucha belongs with Shevet Yehuda. But what the Gemara is saying, says the Ramban, is if for some reason the Melucha is not by Shevet Yehuda, let's say there's no one in that Mishpach, in that family, worthy of being king, so we're going to have to choose a king from another family. Tells us the Gemara, if we're going to have to choose a king from another family in Klal Yisrael, from another Shevet in Klal Yisrael, it should not be from Shevet of Kahanim Leviim. They specifically should not be. And as the Taklan Chanatin, as the Kabbalah Eid explains, we would think that maybe they should be, because since they do have a relationship to the Shem and the Mishkah, Kohanim are anointed, perhaps they should be. The Torah tells us specifically that if we're going to choose, don't choose them. And the Meshech Chachma explains why specifically should they not be considered they should not be chosen. So the Meshech Chachma says that the position of Kahuna and position of Melucha are very different positions. A Kohen is a Oved Hashem. A Melech is the one that leads Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, says the Meshech Chachma, look at Kohanim for leadership in Shmiras HaMitzvahs, in Ruchnius. A king can't always have that Madrega in Avodas Hashem. He's busy running a country. Says the Meshech Chachma, if a king will be a Kohen, and he is also going to have to serve as the role model in Avodas Hashem, and he won't be able to be the Oved Hashem that a Kohen is expected to be because of his other responsibilities as a Melech, it could not be a good example for Klal Yisrael. So therefore, we don't want a Kohen, the Torah doesn't want specifically a Kohen, that Klal Yisrael should not get the wrong model, the wrong example of Avodas Hashem. We learned that Yoyachis succeeded his father Yoshio as king. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, that the Pasuk says that the Bnei Yoshio, B'chor was Yochanan, the second was Yoyakim, the third was Tzidkio, and the fourth was Shalom. Says the Gemara, who Yochanan, who Yoyachis? Yochanan and Yoyachis are the same. Ask the Gemara for Ksiv, but it says in the Pasuk, HaB'chor Yochanan, that Yochanan was the oldest. And then on the other hand, now you're saying that Yoyachis, but the Pasuk says that Yoyachis wasn't the first one. Answers the Gemara, K'pachol Malchus. What it means was that he was the first one of Yoshio's sons to be king, even though he wasn't the firstborn son. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hu Shalom Hu Tzidkio. Shalom and Tzidkio are the same person. Ask them of Aksiv, Hashilishi Tzidkio, the third son was Tzidkio, Hervi, and the fourth one was Shalom, so we see it's not one and the same person. Says the Gemara, Shlishi L'Seilodis, he was the third son born, Revi L'Malchus, but he was the fourth of his sons that ever served as Melech. Tzidkio, where did he get the name Tzidkio? Shetzidikolov Midasadim, he accepted the verdict of Hashem because he was the king, the last king of Klal Yisrael, and he went into Golos. Shalom, Shabayom of Shalom, and Malchus Beis David. In his days, the Malchus Beis David ended. Says the Gemara, Lot Shalom have a Shmei, V'lo Tzidkio a Shmei. His name is not really Shalom, nor Tzidkio, El Matanyo. His name is Matanyo. Hodig Siv, V'yimlech Melch Bavel, Es Matanyo Dol Yo'achtav. Yochanya's uncle, Matanyo, was the king, V'yesh V'shmei, and then his name was changed, Tzidkio, for the reason that we explain why he had that name. Amrav Yochanan. The arm was made with an amma, that the amma contained six tfachim. Man tana amma shal shisha tfachim. Who the tana says that that's the size of the amma that was used to make the arm? So it's about Ramehi, that not. Ramehi Omer, kol ammas hayu bebeinanis. There are three types of ammas. There's an amma that's a five tefach amma. There's an amma which is a six tefach amma. And there's an amma which is six tefachim and an etzpa. So the six tefach amma is the middle type, middle size. Says Ramei, that's the amma that was used to make all the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ammas have been in shisha. When building, they use a six tefach amma. Shakelim, but for the vessels, they use the chamisha, they use the five tefach amma. Adat is Ramei, do Omer, but amma shal shisha tefachim higher on osri. So according to Ramei, the arm was made out of six tefach amma. Orka shal arin. So how long was the arin? Chamisha asu tefachim, 15 tefachim. Why? Because it says regarding the arin, amasayim v'chetzi arka. 2.5 amma was its length. So amsa shita, one amma is six tefachim. V'amsa shita, another amma is six tefachim. According to him, we use a six tefach amma to build the arin. Opalgus amsa and half amsa tlosa, 6 plus 6 plus 3 equals 15. V'arba luchas hayuba. In the Aron there were four luchas. Shneim shlemim, the two luchas that were whole. The shneim shvurim and the two broken luchas. The ksiv, as the pasuk says, asher shivartem b'sivantem ba'aron, the broken ones should also be put into the Aron. Haluchas ha'kal echad ve'erkai echad shish tefachim. Each one of the luchas was 6 tefachim long. Rachvay, and it was shlosh, it was 3 tefachim wide. 10 rachban shaluchas, larkas shal olam. So we put the width of the 4 luchas parallel to the 15 tefach length of the aron. Nishtayim sham shlosh tefachim, because we have 4 times 3 equal 12. 15 minus 12 is 3. So what do we do with the 3 tefachim that are left? Temhem chatzi tefach kol kaisel. A half a tefach should be for each wall. Because as the Mefarshim explained, when we say that the Oren was 2.5 amma long, or 15 tefachim long, that's measured from the outside. So we have to give some room for the outside space. So that's a half a tefach for each wall. So now we're left with 2 tefachim. Nishtayish shnei tefachim. We're left with 2 tefachim. The sefer Torah. A sefer Torah was put there. Machloikus, what that sefer Torah was used for. Some say that was the sefer Torah that was used by the Kohen Gadol to lay in on Yom Kippur. That was the sefer Torah that was read from by Hakel. Others say that it wasn't used. It was just the most authentic sefer Torah that was kept in the Aron, the Kodesh Kedoshim. Continues the Gemara. Rach v'shal Aron tisha tefachim. The Aron was 9 tefachim wide. The Ksif. Amma v'chetzi rochba. The Aron was an amma and a half wide. Amsa shita. 1 amma is 6 tefachim. Upalga amsa tlosa. A half amma is 3 tefachim. So that's 9 tefachim. 6 plus 3. V'abba luchas hayba. We had the 4 lochus. Shneim shlim, shneim shlim. The whole one and the broken ones. The Ksif, as we just said, ashe shivarto v'samtim ba'aron. Haluchas kaya kal echad v'echad orkin shisha tefachim. The length of the luchas was 6 tefachim. The rachvon was shlosh tefachim. 10 arkin shel luchas l'rachvon shel aron. The length of the luchas was put to the width of the aron, parallel to the width of the aron. So that's 6 tefachim taken up of the 9. Nishtayim sham shlosh tefachim. So we're left with 3 tefachim. Chatzi tefach mikan l'kaisel zeh, v'chatzi tefach mikan l'kaisel zeh. Each wall was a chatzi tefach wide, so now we're down with 2 tefachim. What were those 2 tefachim? V'chayim l'shilat makam shesef atar munach. The extra 2 tefachim were left, that's where a person had to be able to stick his fingers in, that if he wanted to get out the sefer Torah, he should be able to put his fingers in and get out the sefer Torah. Rashim melakishoymer, ba'amma bas chamisha tefachim haya arnasi. The arm was made of an amma that was 5 tefachim, each amma. Man tama ba'amma bas chamisha tefachim. Who's the tana that says that's how we measure that amma? Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanin Taman, we learned in the Mishnah, in Masechta Kelim, Yudah Aima, Amas HaBinyin Shisha, the Amma used to build was 6 Tfachim, Shal Kelim, but the Amma used to make the Kelim was Chamisha. Vahein Aron Kelihu, and the Aron is a vessel. Al Dati Rabbi Yehuda, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, Du Omer, Ba'amma Shal Chamisha Tfachim Haya Aron Asui. The Aron was made out of 5 Tfachim Amma, so it comes out that it was 12.5 tefachim long. Shnei masu tefach hamachza, the ksiv, as it says, a mesayim v'chetzi arkay, the length was 2.5 amma. Amsa chamisha, 1 amma is 5 tefachim. V'amsa chamisha, the next amma is 5 tefachim. Opalga amsa trei plaga, half amma is 2.5. 5 plus 5 plus 2.5 equal 12.5. Furthermore, arba luchas hayibah, there were 4 luchas in the aron. Shnaim shleim, the 2 whole ones, v'shnaim shvim, the 2 broken ones. The ksiv, as it says, asher shivarta v'samta ba'aron, that the broken ones were left in the aron also. Haluchas hayu kalech v'echad arkin shish tefachim. Each one of the luchas was 6 tefachim long. V'rachvin shal tefachim, and 3 tefachim wide. 10 rachvin shal luchas l'arkin shal aron. We take the width of the luchas to parallel to the length of the aron. Nishtai sham chatzi tefach. So there's only a half chatzi tefach left, because it's 4 times 3 is 12. So 12.5 minus 12 is a half a tefach. Etzbel kais mekan. So we have to need place for the width of the wall. According to this Tana, each wall was an etzba, which is a quarter of a tefach wide. Etzba l'kais mekan, etzba l'kais mekan. Rach v'shal aron, according to this mandama, the width of the aron was shivat tefachim machza, 7.5 tefachim. The ksiv, amma v'chetzi rachbay, the width of the aron was amma and a half. Amsa chamisha, 1 amma is 5 tefachim wide. Upalgas amsa trei palag, a half amma is 2.5. V'abba luchas hayba, and there were 4 luchas in the aron. Shnayim shleimim, shnayim shvurim, 2 whole and 2 broken. The ksiv, as we said, shvat v'samta ba'aron. Haluchas are kol echad ve'echad orchas shisha tvachim. Each one of the luchas was 6 tvachim long. The rochvan and its width was shlosh tvachim. 10 arkon l'rochva shel aron. We put the length of the luchas parallel to the width of the aron. So that's 6. So 7.5 is the width. We need 6 for the length of the luchas. So we're left with nishtay sham tefach ha-machtza. We're left with a tefach ha-machtza. Etzpa l'kais makan v'etz l'kais makan. The width of the walls was an etzpa. So it's 2/4 tefachim, which is a half a tefach. Etzpa l'kais makan v'etzpa l'kais makan. And then, chatzi tefach makan. We had on one side of the luchas, 1/2 a tefach. V'chatzi tefach makan. And another half a tefach for the other side of the luchas from that remaining tefach, the shilut, that we should be able to maneuver the luchas if we had to move them around. Says the Gemara, Ketzet osa betzalus oren. How did betzalu build the oren? Rav Chanina Omer, Sholosh Tevis Osoi. He made it into 3 boxes. Shtayim shelzov, 2 were made out of gold. V'achas shelaitz, and 1 was made out of wood. So he had a smaller box and a larger box, and the middle box was made out of wood. Notzin shalzov b'shalaitz, he put the gold box, the small gold box into the wood box, b'shalaitz b'shalzov, and then he put the wood box into the gold box, b'tzipo, and then he covered the rim with gold. Farshim explained that he didn't necessarily cover the rim by pouring the wood rim, by pouring gold on it. What he did was, he made the small box inside have a high wall, and then that wall was bent over, to cover the wood box. The ksiv, v'tzipoy oso ezov tar, bayis b'chutz, should cover it gold from inside and outside, tetzapena. Then the Torah adds the word tetzapena. So the question is, matam elohim titzapena. Why did the Torah have to add the word titzapena? To teach us, lovis fasal yonai, to teach us that it was built in this fashion, not just gold coated, but to teach us it was built one box in the other. However, Rav Shimon ben Lakish disagrees. He says, teva achas so, it was made with one box, v'tzipo, and it was coated with gold. T'ksiv v'tzipiso iso zov tar v'bayisa mechutz. Ask the Gemara according to Rish Lakish, why did the Torah have to add that word titzapena? Matam alayim titzapena. Amra Pinchas lahavi bein nesel neser, to teach us that even the edges between one board and another of this wood box had to be coated with gold. Says the Gemara, Ketzet haya luchas ksuvim. How would the luchas written? Reb Chananya ben Gamliel Omer, Chamisha luach zeh v'chamisha luach zeh. 5 on one tablet and 5 on the other one. Hadol d'ksiv v'yichtevim ashnei luchas havonim. The Torah was written on the Seres Hadibris were written on 2 tablets. Chamisha luach zeh v'chamisha luach zeh. 5 on one and 5 on the other. And the Mabit and the Sefer Beis Elokim makes an interesting observation. He says, if that's the way the luchas were written, so the first luach that had the first 5 dibris had on it 533 letters. Yet the second luach that had on it the second 5 dibris had only on it 87 luchas. So how does that work? One had so many more letters than the other. So he says that the luchas with the only, that had only, the second luchas that had on it only 87 letters were, the letters were much larger. Why? Because the second luchas represent the mitzvahs that are ben odom l'chaveroi. They have to be written in large letters to show us that they are just as important as the first 5 luchas, which are the mitzvahs ben odom l'makom. Rabbanan disagree. They say asara luach zeh, all 10 were on this luach, v'asar luach zeh, and all 10 were on the other tablet. Hadod eksiv, v'yogel lechem es brisoi, ashe tziva eschem, lasus aseres advarim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us the aseres advarim, asar luach zu, 10 on this one, and v'asar luach zeh, and 10 on the other one. Because it says, v'yich teveim, they were all written. Mefarshim explain, there are 2 ways the Mefarshim explain. One Pshat is that since the Luchas are mentioned twice in the Torah, the Luchas Rishonis in Parashas Yisroi and the Luchas Shniyos in Parashas Veschanan, and there are slight differences, so all 10 had to be written twice. Another Pshat is, some Seifer learned this way, the reason it was all 10 was because they were written they wanted to have on one side all 10. Rav Shimon ben Yochai Amar, Esrim Luach Zeh, 20 on one Luach, Vesrim Luach Zeh, and 20 on the other Luach. The Ksiv, V'yichtaveim Ashnei Luchas Avonim, Esrim Luach Zeh, 20 on one, Vesrim Luach Zeh. And like the Mefarshim explained, since it says this pasuk V'yichtaveim twice, so that means that we had all 20. The way Mefarshim say, what really happened was that you had all 10 on one side, but the luchas were visible from both sides of the stone. So that's how you end up with 10 on one side and 10 on the other side, for a total of 20 on each tablet. Rav Simai Omer, Abayim Aluchzeh, Abayim Aluchzeh, 40. The Ksiv, Mizeh Umizeh Ksuvim, from all sides, tetragon, like a tetragon, all four sides. And then first we explain what's pshat on all four sides. From all four sides of the tablet, from whichever side you looked, you saw the Tzeres HaDibros. Says the Gemara, Chananya ben Achra Bishu Omer, ben Kol Dibur B'Dibur, between each of the commandments, the Gdukteo V'Shiseh Shal Torah, the details and the letters of Torah written, the Ksiv Mulolim B'Tarsha B'Yam Rabba, as full as the Great Sea. Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon, what's the point? Rav Shimon Lakish could have a Havimata Haidain Kroya. When he would learn this Pasuk, he would say, Hava Omer, Yofalim Dani Chananya Ben Acher Bishoa. He taught me properly. Ma Hayam Azeh, just like the sea, Ben Gal Godl Gal Godl, between the big waves, Galm Tanim, there are small waves, so too, Ben Kol Dibur V'Dibur, the Gdotah V'Shisah Shal Torah, were all of the reasonings and the Dinim of the Torah. The Beis Halevi says that this was only by the Luchas Rishonis. In the first Luchas, there was this concept that every between the Luchas were written all of the various dinim. As Rav Sadia Goin says, all Taryag mitzvahs can be extrapolated from the Aseres HaDibros. That's how Beis Halevi learns. However, there are other, the Yofei Mara learns just the opposite. He learns that between each, that only by the Luchas Shniyos, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make it easier for us to learn, were all of the Tamim written between the Dibros, not by the first Luchas. Omer Tamchuma, Esyasis Kumira Panchas. I asked the following question to Rapinchas. Asik Rabbi Yehuda, v'le'asik Rabbi Meir. I could understand a pasuk according to what Rabbi Yehuda taught us earlier, not the way Rabbi Meir taught us. Because as we learned earlier, according to Rabbi Meir, there was extra room in the Aron, and that's where the Sefer Torah was put. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there was no extra space in the Aron. So where was the Sefer Torah put? It was put, says the Gemara, my time, Rabbi Yehuda, the Ksiv, l'koyach ha-Sefer Torah zeh, take the Sefer Torah, v'santam oisoy mitzad Aron b'r Hashem, so he put on the side of the Aron. Adapted Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Omer, the Pasuk is teaching us, heicha yosay v'tara nosun, where was the Sefer Torah put? Kimin gulskoy osolam v'chutz. The Sefer Torah was put on a small box outside of the Aron, that's where it's put. For the Sefer Torah nosun v'tara, that's where the Sefer Torah was put. So, and that's shown in the Pasuk. But that works according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rameyer, who said that the Sefer Torah was put inside the Aron, my Tamid Rameya. So says the Gemara, because it says in the Pasuk, when the Satas Kapiris al Aron Mamala, you should put the covering on top of the Aron, the Aron Titin is Eidus Hashatan Alecha, and then you should put the Aron. So the Pasuk is a difficult to understand, because you can't first put on the cover and then put in the Eidus and put in the items inside. First you have to put the items inside, and then you put on the cover. So it must be, adated Rameya, according to Rameya, what am I learning? Do I make a mukdamach b'tayra? There's no special order in this pasuk. Ella, how do I learn the pasuk? The Torah is telling us, put into the Aron the Sefer Torah, like Ramey said, you have the Sefer Torah in the Aron. And then you put the cover. So there's an interesting shaila in the Ratvaz. The Ratvaz says that according to this, the Sefer Torah was lying in the Aron. If the Sefer Torah was lying in the Aron, asked the Ratvaz, why, when we put a Sefer Torah in the Aron HaKadosh, do we put it standing, not laying? So actually, he says, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, the Rabbeinu Tam said, had he realized, he would make an Aron HaKadosh wider in order that the Sefer Torah should lie, not stand. However, the Ratvaz says, certainly the minhag is that the Sefer Torah should be standing, and he says a few reasons why. Number one is we use the Sefer Torah all the time, so we want that the Sefer Torah should be more accessible. So how do we make it more accessible? By taking it out from the Aron HaKadosh in a standing position. Also, he says, based on the shape of our Sefer Torah that are round, it's easier to maneuver when they're standing. And then he says, perhaps we passing like Rabbi Yehuda, that the Aron, that the Sefer Torah was not put in the Aron. Rather, the Sefer Torah was put on the side of the Aron. If the Sefer Torah was put in a box on the side of the Aron, it's not necessarily the case that the Sefer Torah was lying. It could be that according to Rabbi Yehuda, not only was the Sefer Torah not in the Aron HaKadosh, but in this box on the side of the Aron HaKadosh, but it was actually standing in that box. So we're standing on that box. That's why we follow that custom and we leave the Sefer Torah standing in the Aron. The Torah that was given from a Kodesh Baruch to Moshe was given to him white fire on top of black fire. He esh, it's fire, mevlelos beish, mixed with fire, v'chetsuv meish, and made from fire, v'nesun meish, and given from fire. The ksiv, as the pasuk says, miminoi esh toslomoi, the fire, the Torah was given from a Kodesh Baruch Hu's right hand with a fire. The first explain what's pshat these two type of fire. So the Mabit explains that in the Torah there are two parts. There's the nigla, the part that we understand, the mitzvahs that we have to do. That's the nigla, and then there's the nister. The black fire represents what we see in this world, which is black. It's dark, tzaris. Those are the mitzvahs that we have to do in the nigla. And the white fire represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we have to do the white fire. Mefarshim also explain that what's pshat black fire, that ena torim skayemes el misha mashker ponov keish. Somebody has to become dark. He has to work hard on learning Torah. That's the mashker of the Torah. Two more pshatim about the fire. One pshat is that the fire represents the rischa deraisa, that when somebody learns, he has to learn with a rischa, with a burn. He has to build up a heat. That's the way Torah is learned, with amelis, with a rischa deraisa. But there's one more pshat that I once saw in the name of Rav Shalom Shvadron. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has various strong elements in the world. For example, wind. When the wind blows, a hurricane, very strong, it could blow something far away. But it won't change the item. The item started off whatever it was, and it could have gotten blown away hundreds of miles. But it's that same item that I began with. Fire burns. Burning means that it changes the item from what it was to a different item altogether. The koyach haTorah, the power of Torah is that it's like fire. A person who begins to learn Torah becomes a different person. He's consumed by the fire of Torah, that he's now a better person, a greater person. The Eish Shel Torah changes him. Eish Shel Torah changes him.